Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Hello and welcome to episode 76 of the LA Rams UK podcast. I'm John, otherwise known as JavaScript, and I'll be taking the reins tonight. And tonight, I'm joined by Andy. Andy, how are you going, mate?
I'm great, thanks, John. How are you?
Not bad. Are you happy for football return, or have the painful memories of No Win November came back for you?
No, happy it's back, mate. Gives me something to do now for weekends. You know, I'm not bored and wandering around the house, lost, wondering what to do.
That's it. Our families have now lost us for the next five, hopefully 6 months, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Way I like it.
Awesome, man. So before we kick off and look back at our unfortunate week one loss to the Bills, just a wee couple updates from the LA Rams UK community. So some of you might have taken part in our off-season survey, which provided us with great feedback and has allowed us to look at doing what we can do to improve not only the podcast, but the community and content we put out in general. In terms of podcast, we were delighted to hear that you guys enjoy what we're doing and essentially you just want more. Sorry we couldn't put more content out during the off-season, but sometimes difficult for us all to sit around the table. We did try to get together for the draft episodes, but it's just one of those ones, life commitments, sometimes it just gets in the way. But Andy and I are now fully initiated members of the team. We've went through a period of hazing, you know, and there's more bodies, so there's more guys to keep this train moving. So keep your eyes out in the channels, so hopefully over the course of the season there'll be more content. But away from the podcast, if you've been keeping an eye on the website, you'll see that we've now started a weekly player feature. We had Lance McCutcheon last week, and this week our player feature is on Nick Scott. So check out larams.uk for that. And also check out if you want to watch replays of the Debo hit. Without further ado, let's get down to business and I guess talk about our opening week loss to the Bills on what was banner unveiling evening. Andy, how was it for you? What was your initial thoughts in the game?
I'm going to be brutally honest. I didn't expect us to win the game. However, I was very disappointed with just how poorly we played. You know, I thought we'd maybe put up a bit of a fight, you know, it'd be a close game. I did not expect the Bills to walk away with it as easily as they did. To be honest, to me, it felt to me like it was that first preseason game, you know, of the season where, you know, teams are all over the place, they're not gelled properly yet. It just felt so disjointed and unconnected, which was, you know, the disappointment for me. I don't know about yourself.
Totally agree with you in the preseason vibe. I think it's one of those ones, it's easy to forget that our starters don't play the preseason purely to give the guys lower down the depth the chance to step up, prove themselves and whatnot, and also avoid injuries, I guess, to our starters during the preseason. But it felt as if there's still a lot of cobwebs on there to, you know, dust off. I was hopeful we would win the game, but it's one of those ones at the same time, I'm not surprised that we lost, considering, I don't even know if you could call it hype around the Bills, but they are being pegged as the AFC team, and they are expected to, you know, be the AFC representative in Arizona. So it's one of those ones, I watched the game on Sunday night rather than watch it live, so my perspective and view of it is probably going to sound a lot different from everyone who watched it live. And reading the comments, I fully understand why, because if I did watch it live, I'd probably be raging at the performance. Did you watch it live, Andy?
Yeah, I watched it live. It's one of them, looking back now, it's like, you know, the pain of staying up till, you know, gone 4 a.m. watching it, you're like, oh, why did I do that, you know? But, you know, it was first game of the season, banner unveiling, it was one of them I had to watch live, no matter what, just because of it. It's the first game of the season and what was happening. But like I say, I wonder as well if a little bit of all the hype of the off-season has got to the players a little bit. You know, McVay, is he going to stay? Is he not? Aaron Donald, is he going to stay? Is he not? You know, all that. I wonder if there's been a little bit of that in the background as well that has maybe affected the performance of the players as well. That's something that's, you know, has cropped into my mind a few times.
Yeah, there could be that kind of not ego about it. The players expect to come in, they're just going to run it back from the off, but it does maybe it is the, you know, the Super Bowl hangover, I guess, is that everyone says when you win a Super Bowl, you're like, you're not going to go out and win another one straight away, so it's expected of teams to come out poorly, which is probably why you know, the so-called experts, and I use that term loosely, are kind of pegging us as we've greatly regressed in the off-season, which I don't think is the case. But if you look back at maybe the previous schedules, we've played a lot weaker teams in opening weeks. The players have kind of came out the traps and been able to get not really comfortable victories, but victories and go off the season to a good start. Whereas this is the first time under McVay where we've started with a loss. It could be that, but then, you know, there's a lot kind of being said about some of the players, Akers in particular, who we'll come on to later. Going through the game, just looking down the kind of the breakdown of the drives. So the Bills started off, came out the trap, 75-yard drive for a touchdown. We punted our next one, which became, this is going to become a theme for us for the night, I guess. Bills came out with an interception on the next one, and then we punted again. And then I get, like, the defense kind of stepped up really quickly from the overfield, because at the start of the second quarter with a fumble, fortunately Stafford then goes and throws an interception straight away, and we managed to hold them to a field goal before finally we get ourselves on the board with a Cooper Kupp touchdown. Again, another turnover. So three turnovers within the second quarter alone. And to wrap up the first half, we had Matt Gay's 57-yard field goal. Coming out of the second half, again, the Rams had two positions in the third quarter, both punts. The Bills, this is where it just kind of seemed to have fallen away. Coming out 10-10 from the half, you know, the end of the third quarter, we're 24-10 down. Following two drives, the ending touchdowns, one of which was a 94-yard drive. And then just in the last quarter, interception again from the Rams, another touchdown from Bills. Another interception for the Rams, Matt Stafford's Friday night. A fumble and then a turnover and down to the end of the game. It's one of those ones, just wanted to get through that quickly, just because it was a disappointing game overall from the Rams. But overall, Andy, do you think the scoreline reflected the actual performance? Or do you think, no, we were just bad all round?
No, I thought we were pretty bad. I'd say offensively we were bad. We just did not get the ball going. You know, three turnovers from Stafford. I think none of us were expecting that. You know, we know he can be a little bit hero ball at times, if you like, and lob it up there. But I don't think we expected that sort of performance week one from him. We could not get the run game going, which causes, I think, issues, because as we know, McVay loves to get the ground game going, get passes off the play action. We just couldn't get it going, and the Bills knew what was happening. And to be honest, also, it was going to be typical that the one person, you know, that we let go, which was Miller, comes back and just completely wrecks us. To be honest, like I say, I think defensively, given, you know, the hype that's around the Bills, and, you know, personally to me, I think Josh Allen's probably one of the top five, maybe top three quarterbacks now in the league for me. To hold them to 31 points, you know, I was expecting a bit of a shootout, you know, like the Kansas City game a few years ago, where we were just going to go toe for toe, and it just never seemed to happen. To be honest, my biggest letdown all night was the offensive line. It was just like a turnstile. They may as well have not stood there, because they were just getting around them like they didn't even exist half the time.
Yeah, in terms of the Bills, like, I think it was probably to be expected that Von Miller was going to do what he did. You know, he knows how our players tick. I think it's the same when any ex-Ram goes, especially on defense, they go to another team, then they come up against us. It seems to be just kind of given that they seem to have a kind of standout game against us. On the topic of Von Miller, like, I think we were all disappointed that he left purely for money, and since has made comments that he didn't want to leave Los Angeles. He wanted to stay with the Rams. But obviously money talks to him. It's not about where he plays. It's not about the rings on his finger. It's all about making money, I guess. But Josh Allen, for me, is probably one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He actually led the Bills in rushing against us as well. He rushed 10 times for 56 yards, one of which was a rushing touchdown, as opposed to Singleton, who only got 48 yards on 8 carries. In fact, Josh Allen rushed, on his own, rushed for more yards on the ground in all of our attempts, which is frankly quite shocking when you look at it that way. That quarterback, I mean, he's not Mike Vick, you know, who was essentially a running back quarterback, and the Falcons never needed to draft running backs because they had Vick. Josh Allen, whilst he is a very mobile quarterback, is not that kind of quarterback. But for him to record that many yards compared to ours, like, Henderson was 47 yards on 13 carries, Powell 3, Stafford 2, and Akers got 0. So for Allen to beat all of them combined, like, again, it just highlights there is issues with our running game. There was issues last year, but perhaps use the excuses all well, our starting running back is injured. We've gone with Henderson and Michelle, who were splitting snaps between them. And as we said last year many times, they did perform very well for us. What are your feelings on the running game for the Rams? Elsewhere, away, we'll start with away from Akers.
To be honest, without Akers, the running game worries me. With Akers in it, I think it can get better. But it's also got to be, it's not just to do with the running backs. It seemed like the offensive line just couldn't get any push either all night and give them the gaps that maybe they could. I think the only time they managed to get a gap, Henderson did make, was it about 10 to 12 yards he managed to get?
Yeah.
But that was it. It seemed to be all night. The offensive line just could not get that push up front and clear the way for them to go. So it's going to be difficult for the running backs if the line's not doing it. And, you know, that is my biggest worry this season, is with the changes on the offensive line. You know, we've lost Big Wit. Corbett left to go to the Panthers. We've just not got that power up front to be able to make those runs anymore in those gaps, because the guys we've brought in, Shelton, Brian Allen, they're not the biggest, heaviest guys in the world.
Yeah.
For offensive linemen, I just think coming up against bigger players, bigger defensive tackles, I'm just not going to be able to make that push to give us the gap, which is obviously then going to affect the run game for us. You could have the best running back in the world back there, but if he's just going to keep smashing straight into the defensive line, you know, we're not going to get that. So I think, you know, as much as some of the people are saying, you know, Akers and everything else, I think a lot of the blame has to go to the line, that they need to maybe get a bit more beef behind there to maybe help create some gap. You know, even if we have to go to, like we did a few times last year, six linemen, you know, heavy packages, and just see if maybe we can get that push a bit easier up front to create those lines for them. When they go off, Akers and Henderson, you know, Henderson's not the quickest in the world, but, you know, he can get you those 5, 6, 7 yards at a time.
Yep.
And Akers, you know, you give him that lane and he can be gone, and providing obviously that his speed's still there. You know, that was a worry coming out at the end of last season, coming back maybe a bit too early. Had he lost that half a yard step of speed, and maybe he's going to have to adapt his game to it. So we'll just have to wait and see. It sounds like they're going to give Akers a few more touches this week. So hopefully, you know, that maybe gives us a bit of a better idea as to what's going on.
Yep. So in terms of Akers, he got limited snaps from the game. Like watching through the highlights, and when I was watching it Sunday night, so I watched the 40-minute one. So because I knew he hadn't played much, I did take note every time he came on. And I found through like watching the game that I kept asking myself a question, where is he? Do you think it was part of the game plan to not give him limited snaps? Or do you think there's something else going on? Because Jordan Rodrigue posted on Twitter that she spoke to Akers after she missed the group interview, and she said that he'd actually made time for her at the end of the locker room period, which normally they don't really have to do. And I'll read what Akers said. It probably makes more sense that way. So he said, "I'm making sure I'm on the screws, make sure I do my job, lock in, staying focused, got to play my game, be me, be what this team expects me to be, a playmaker with or without the ball. Whether it's getting here early, meeting my coaches, a little bit extra film, extra maintenance, working in the training room, everything. I'm trying to make sure I turn over every stone, make sure I do my part in all aspects. I'm not perfect, but make sure I'm on the screws as close to perfect as possible." Do you think something's been said to him in terms of your attitude's not quite there?
Did see something from the team, from McVay basically calling him out, basically saying, you know, he needs to do a little bit more, you know, but I have full confidence that he'll be able to do it. We've had a chat and everything. You know, obviously, you know, the McVay secrecy, he doesn't like to tell too much. So I think, you know, obviously we don't see what's going on. Maybe, you know, in practices and stuff, he's been a bit lazy, or, you know, he's a bit of an attitude, or we don't know until, you know, unless we can actually see behind the, you know, so it's a difficult one. But it sounds to me from what he said that he has maybe been called out about his attitude and, you know, everything else. And he's realised that he needs to knuckle down a little bit and, you know, maybe do that a little bit more to get, you know, help himself and also help the team. So hopefully it's a good sign, you know, that he's took the time out himself to have that interview to say, you know, this is what I need. You know, the fact he's rather than just, you know, I'm me and I'll just do me. And, you know, he's took, you know, he seems to have took that personal responsibility. So hopefully that is a good sign that good things may come. He'll put the extra work in and get himself to where, you know, we know he can be, which is a good running back in the league.
Yeah. One of those ones, like, I think one is, I can't remember, I don't know if it was Rich Hammond or not, they'd said that in the post-game interviews, when they were in, you know, the press room, they could hear McVay basically shouting and screaming at the players. It's one of those ones, like, the impression I got is McVay had called him out. Now, I'd seen this quote from him before. I'd seen the McVay quotes. So reading that, it sounded like to me that Akers had been basically pulled aside, told a new one, and he's came out going, no, I need to do better. And with that, there's always the worry with McVay is if you're in his doghouse, you're as good as gone. Then seeing McVay's comments, it just sounds like, no, I've gave him some constructive feedback, told him what he needs to do. It's up to him to go and do it now. So it's not your typical, there's been a falling out, McVay wants you out. Because the next thing I was wanting to ask was, do you think it's too early to say, perhaps we need to be thinking about replacing them, or is it one of those ones we're jumping the gun?
I think people are jumping the gun on that one. Like I said earlier, you know, to me personally, as much as we love seeing him, you know, in the postseason, he maybe came back a little bit too early, you know, so he's maybe still recovering. You know, I'd give him a few weeks, you know, let's see what he could do. Hopefully, you know, McVay putting a rocket up his backside, you know, may just give him that impetus now that to knuckle down and get working. Give it a few weeks, I'd say. If it feels like, you know, he's still not getting going, or Henderson's still getting, you know, more touches, then, you know, we can start, you know, maybe discussing that it's time to go. But obviously, I think at the moment as well, with Kyron Williams getting injured for, I think it's about 6-7 weeks, I can't see us doing anything anyway. He was the sort of, if he was going to be, Akers was going to be replaced, that would be the guy that would replace him with him injured. I don't see anything happening.
And just lastly, Kenan Akers, do you think with his game, his awareness to read plays as they unfold is something that is a bit of a worry for you? And the player reference is the one where he's immediately comes out from the snap in pass protection, doesn't check the oncoming rusher, and then proceeds to move in to try and give Stafford an option as a pass, which results in Stafford taking a hit. Do you think his awareness and ability to read plays as they unfold is something that's a bit of a worry? Because the likes of, you know, your Hendersons provide that pass protection, whereas I'm not entirely too sure, because it's still early days with Akers. He was out for the majority of last season, and then it was his rookie season, so he didn't really get many snaps. So perhaps it's still early days to say that that's an area of his game that he's weak in, or it's just one of those ones he's not maybe had the chance. What do you think?
To be honest, I think as a free down back, I don't think he is one of them. And I think when it comes to passing, although he can catch the ball out the backfield, his pass protection has never been the biggest thing with him. And I think that's why they do trust Henderson. And, you know, last year, you know, someone like Michelle, a bit of a bigger body, can stand up to it. But it's something that he can develop in his game. You know, I'm not saying he can't develop it. It's something that, you know, he, and maybe that's part of what he's acknowledging, is that, you know, he needs to get better at that. But like I said earlier, that game felt like a preseason to me, and everybody makes mistakes in preseason. You know, I forgot to pick up that block that I should have done, and that, you know, and I think some of that may have been something to do with it, because he's a bit, everyone's out of sync. He's probably got the call not quite sunk in his head that, all right, I need to actually pass Poe first before I break out, chip the guy or whatever, give the lineman a bit of helping hand. So, yeah, I think some of that may have played into it. That rustiness of, you know, not getting any preseason snaps at all has affected how the team played. Because, you know, everyone calls out Akers for that one. But there was quite a few. There was, you know, I think I remember one with David Edwards. He just stood in the middle of nowhere going, with his arms out going, who am I supposed to block while everyone's gone around them? I think a lot of it was that rustiness of it's their first game together.
Do you think then the move to make the preseason 3 weeks instead of 4 weeks is something that we're kind of feeling, you know, the kind of the effects of, that we don't have, you know, that extra week where we could play our starters?
I'm not sure on that one, because a lot of teams, the first two preseason games is where they're doing what we do, which is look at the depth players. And then the third game is where they're sort of saying, all right, we'll give you, you know, a drive or two, or, you know, the first quarter. I think sometimes there has to be a little bit of a balance between, yeah, I understand McVay doesn't like doing it because of injuries, the injury risk. But if it starts affecting your performances week one, you know, maybe doing what teams like the Bills did. They gave, you know, the starters two drives and then pulled them, you know, so at least there was that little bit of game time and that thing, you know, just to get a little bit of rhythm and a little bit of togetherness rather than just chucking them out like we did.
Moving on to Stafford, on the night he was 29 for 41, 240 yards for a touchdown, but three interceptions. During the off-season, lots been said about this elbow injury. Do you think there is anything actually there?
Yeah, you do.
Or do you think it's just a case of rustiness?
I think it's a little bit of rustiness, don't get me wrong. But I think there is more to that injury than what the team is letting on. You know, I still remember the girly days of McFadden. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with him. He's fine. I was just a little nick here. It's a little nick there. And, you know, we all know how that ended up. So that is something that worries me, is that they're trying to sort of hide what's going on too. Don't know whether it's McVay's thing or the team's thing of, you know, not giving their opponents the heads up that he's not 100%, so they can adjust their game plans accordingly. Yeah. But a lot of his throws just seemed off, or, you know, he didn't have that zip to the ball that he's used to. Some of that could be he's just getting that little bit older now, so maybe he is losing that little bit of power to his arm. But there has to be something going on with that elbow. There's a reason people have been highlighting that, what he did to sort of try and repair it. And, you know, even pre-season, you know, the scrimmages that they do and everything else, you know, he was missing a lot of time pitch counting him during that, and you're sort of wondering, is there something more in the background than they're just not telling us at the moment?
Yeah, there is that worry. I think it's one of those ones, maybe I'm a wee bit denial that there's something there. When you're saying about the zip to the pass and something looked quite off with him, there was one play where we got the patented Hollywood pass attempt, which went to completely no one. I think it was Henderson was wide open underneath. Stafford's just thinking, no, just sling it down, and it's just totally gone. The other thing is, and you've touched upon it already, is, you know, the offensive line was just a bit of a mess throughout the game and couldn't hold off the oncoming rush for long enough for Stafford to be able to scan, read, and make a play, which is probably why it was back to route one to Cup. Just find Cup, get it to Cup. I suppose we'll have to kind of see how the next few games go with him. If there's kind of more repeat of that, then, you know, alarm bells are going to start ringing. It may be one of those ones that we've got our season out and we've got a ring, I guess, but we could be starting to pay for it. I guess time will tell. Just touching upon Cup there, Cup picking up from where I left off last season. 128 yards, I think it was, on 13 receptions. That toe drag for the touchdown.
Well, that was sweet.
What I couldn't believe, though, is the commentators had the cheek to question whether or not he actually got inbounds. And it took them, I think, two replays before they finally admitted, actually, he got 3 feet down in the end.
Yeah. But
how do you feel like seeing Cup come out in game one and show that he's fully intending on picking up where he went off last year?
Yeah, it was really, you know, that was probably about the only pleasing thing on offense all night, was the fact that Cup just came out and it was like, you know, he hadn't missed a beat all, you know, from last year. He was just like, yep, give me the ball, I'll do, you know, work my magic that I do. As you said, you touched on it a little bit, it did feel like in the end we were force feeding him again a little bit of the ball. And what worries me is that a slight injury and what, you know, without Cup, we could be in serious trouble, which is where, you know, I'd like to see the ball getting spread a little bit more around the team. But in terms of his performance, you know, he said in the off season, you know, he's not sat on his laurels. He's gone out, you know, to get quicker, learn more, get himself mentally there, ready to go. So he's even better than he was, you know, last year. To be honest, obviously a small sample size week one, but it looked like he'd done exactly what he said on the, you know, in his interview, that he was ready to go and he was, you know, quicker and smarter with what he was doing.
Yep. I did see the commentators said that Cup had spoken to, they spoke to Cup and he said that, yeah, I've had to shave the beard pretty much off because I need to, you know, give them something that they can't, like, there's the beard, there he's there, you know.
Yeah.
It was quite funny hearing, like, no, I've shaved because it's too easy for them to pick up on me now because they just look for their beards. In terms of spreading the ball around, Higby was his number two go-to guy on the day, targeted him 11 times with over 39 yards off 5 catches. The main question is Robinson. He only got targeted twice and made one catch. Do you think it was maybe a case of, because of the problems with the line, he's just looking for Cup or Higby? Do you think Robinson was being overlooked, or do you think he's maybe going to just be a slow burner as this kind of way progress into the season?
Yeah, to be honest, for me, I'm back onto it. I think it's just a lack of preseason reps between the two of them. You know, I think that does play a big part in it. They haven't got maybe that chemistry quite 100%. Maybe, you know, either Stafford doesn't quite trust them yet, or if you'd have said to me before the game that we'd have only targeted him twice all game, I'd have been like, you know, you're having a lot, or did he go off injured or something?
Yeah.
You know, it just didn't seem like he was looking his way. Like I say, it is early days, but it was worrying. I was expecting a little bit more out of Robinson, to be honest. You know, I was expecting, right, okay, well, Cup's going to get the double teams. You know, I was expecting him to be like the OBJ that we had last year. You know, okay, well, Cup's getting double teamed now, so he's going to be, you know, one-on-one with the number two, number three wide receiver, you know, or cornerback. So, right, you know, he'll get that chance to, you know, make those plays. It is disappointing, that, but early days, and hopefully that chemistry will grow. And, you know, maybe this week he'll be the one that goes off.
Yeah, I mean, like, coming into the season, Fantasy League, I mean, at work, the guys were all desperate to draft Robinson. And they were all saying, this is the guy that's going to not derail Cup season, but this is the guy that's going to take a lot away from Cup, because Cup will be getting, you know, people are expecting Cup to be double teams, basically, that they think Robinson, no, he's going to be a total dark horse on that Rams offense. So for me, I was kind of hoping the same, that it'd get quite a few targets and we'd get to see that, yeah, this guy is going to be a great number two wide receiver. But with Jefferson out in a moment, it raises the question again, do we need to bring in someone like Beckham, or can Skowronek, Atwell and possibly McCutcheon step up? What do you think? Do you think OBJ is still someone that is fully on the Rams radar and will be in the roster, or do you think we should be focusing more on the guys we've got there?
I think personally at the moment we should focus on who we've got and not fantasize about, you know, possibilities of OBJ. There's a lot that's still got to be sorted out. You know, can we even afford him at the moment? Because close we are again, up against the cap. You know, I thought for what Skowronek did, all right, he's never going to be that spare, but I didn't think he played that badly in the, you know, the chances that he got. Atwell, I think only got, what was he on one? Oh, I can't even remember now if he was, you know, one target and he unfortunately dropped it.
Yeah, I think you I hit know. His chest.
Yeah.
It was an easy catch to make.
Yeah, the thing is, you watched him pre-season, you know, and the hype he was getting, you know, in training camps, and it seemed that he was doing well. You know, I'm sure like me, you saw the highlights that the Rams were putting up. You know, he was making some pretty good catches during the pre-season.
For you a guy's height, it was impressive, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, and, you know, he's got speed as well, so maybe it was just that, you know, week one nerves, you know, the hype of the thing. He's still only a young lad. You know, again, he spent a lot of the last year, you know, out injured. So, you know, this is still technically really, I'd say, you know, his rookie season, really. I wouldn't write him off just yet, but there are a few worries. The biggest worry for me, to be honest, actually was Higbee in terms of pass catches. You know, he did drop a fair few that he got targeted. Yeah, you know, which is very unusual for him. He's normally a fairly, you know, sure-handed guy. He's that safety bracket, you know, all right, if we need to, you know, just get it out, give it to Higbee, you know, and he'll catch it, you know. And it's just, like I say, everything just seemed off this game, everything. But give Skowronek, give Atwell still chances, because I think we need to just spread it about. Maybe, if nothing else, get their confidence up a little bit. Maybe it's a confidence thing for them. Mm-hmm. You know, with a bit more confidence, they'll get into that bit of a groove and they can be, you know, number three, you know, number four receivers for us. But I was shocked, to be honest, that McCutcheon wasn't dressed. That was probably my biggest shock when I saw that. And I was like, why is he? I think that game could have maybe called for someone like him to come in and maybe just do something, be that big bodied receiver that we maybe could have used.
Considering the preseason that McCutcheon had, he'd have been a total unknown quantity to that Bills defense. So he could have, you know, really, you know, thrown a cat amongst the pigeons with their secondary. So I was a bit surprised when I'd seen that he was inactive for the game myself. In terms of Skowronek, at the end of last season, I was highly critical of him. But I think that's because he had quite a number of high-profile drops. But during the off-season, I had got the benefit of hindsight through Discord. A couple of guys said, like, no, go and look at his highlights for the season. He didn't have as many targets as it's made out to be on TV. And he did make a lot of decent plays. So, like, I kind of fully go back on what I'd said about him, that in the off-season that he was probably going to get cut. I'm happy to see him on the roster, and I didn't think he had a bad game. It's one of those ones, I think he's number four on the depth chart. I think he's kind of sitting wide receiver four. It's one of those ones, like, I'm kind of hopeful he'll get more and more chances. But with Atwell, like you said, the videos the Rams were putting up in off-season, I thought, my God, this guy is like 5 foot nothing, but he's like out jumping some of our like defensive players. He's making really big catches. He's fast. Maybe we've been sleeping on him. Again, it's hard to jump to conclusions because the pageantry of banner reveal night, you know, like seeing the banners up there, you had Big Wit, you had OBG in Rams colours with a trophy. The pressure probably got to a lot of the players in the end because it was the opening game of the season, not just for us, but for the league. So many eyes were on us. The sound and the atmosphere in the stadium, which, by the way, credit to the Rams fans. I think it's the first time I've noted another team coming and playing a silent count against us the whole game. So, like, credit was due. But I think it's one of those ones, if you kind of roll it all up, there was a lot of pressure on them to perform, especially with who we're playing against, because everyone's going, like, this is a preview of the Super Bowl this year. People are feeling like, why are we talking about the Rams in the Super Bowl? They look awful.
Yeah, you know, as I said, you know, people's reactions cut at well, do this, do you know, it's week one, let's give them a chance, you know. Let's see, you know, if we're getting to week four, five, six, and they still start, you know, towards the back end where, you know, the trade deadline is, then maybe we can start looking at, right, okay, maybe we need to flip some players and do some stuff. We'll let's give it, you know, early days, one game, you know, let's not overreact. You know, let's be honest, we all remember no win November and how everyone was reacting that season was over, so
coming out in November, I think we're all like, we'd be lucky to make the playoffs at this rate, and then look at what happened. So
yeah,
I suppose you can go through a rough spell, I guess, and still come out on top, you know. I suppose it's not over until that final tackle from Aaron Donald to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of which, I'm just flipping over the defense. How did you feel defensive performance went?
To be honest, I know that people will look at this now, 31 points, but I didn't think we played that bad. You know, we had 3 turnovers, which is, you know, is normally sort of stuff you'd expect the team, you know, if you got 3 turnovers in a game, 9 out of 10 times you expect to win that game. I think statistically, I think if you get 3 or more turnovers in a game, I think it's something like you've got 85% win probability. So, you know, I don't think defense did too bad. My only concern was that Ramsey got beat so easily constantly. You know, we saw this at the end of last season, you know, even in the Super Bowl, you know, he was getting burnt by a few players. My worry is that, again, he's got a little bit older. Maybe he's lost that half a yard of speed as he's getting older. And, you know, he's not, I hate to say it, but not going to be the dominant lockdown corner that he used to be, because people are just going to now notice speed past him and he can't handle that speed anymore.
That's it. Like, it did make me wonder if teams have figured out that just run. And that's how you beat them. Don't let them hold you up. Just go straight for post, go straight for the goals, and just look for the pass, because Diggs touchdown. That's pretty much what they did. But I think it was Tom put a tweet up during the week with a bit of analysis on it. And it's one of those ones, I guess, you don't see it unless you're looking for it. But I think what he says, what it looks like, is that Ramsey was looking more towards Singletary, thinking he was the pass option, and took off his eyes off Diggs long enough for Diggs to essentially break free, which he capitalised on, you know, and then scored. And yeah, I suppose, given that Ramsey's kind of talked smack, I guess, about Diggs and Allen before, can't really blame Diggs for turning around and taunting him in the end zone.
No.
I think there was another case where Ramsey had made a tackle and Allen had fell on top of him and performed thrusting motions in his helmet. Like, obviously, those guys kind of, there's no love lost, I guess, from them. Well, Ramsey's concerned, and you know, kind of felt like they really wanted to make him pay for it, and unfortunately for us, they kind of did.
Yeah, you know, if there was the other one as well, where Diggs dropped it, you know, and Ramsey stood over him, like, you know, arms out, after his thing, and it was like, you were actually nowhere near him, it was just lucky that you dropped it, because otherwise, you know, and it was sort of like, you know, what's going on is maybe, we all know Ramsey came with a reputation of being, you know, a bit of a diva and everything else. And he was, you know, hard to control with an attitude. But has winning the ring maybe got to him? You know, he's got, well, I've done it now, I don't need to worry. Or I'd like to just see him knuckle down, stick his head back in the books. You know, we all saw probably that video in the off-season again with him, with Durant, you know, in the film room discussing stuff and showing him what to do. I want to see that Ramsey again, you know, that, right, okay, stop the hype, stop the talk. Just go out and put it on the field and put it on tape that you are still, you know, the best corner in the league, because the last few games he hasn't looked like that. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, he's been a bit of a ghost himself. I mean, he did come out, I'm not sure if it was after the game or not. I think the show is called Uninterrupted, and he basically just came out and said, like, no, we got our asses handed to us. Like, yeah. There's no doubt about it. Like, we weren't on our game. We were awful, but we know where we went wrong. We know what we need to do. So, like, at least he kind of was putting his hand up, no, I got bumped. I know what I need to go away and do to prevent that. So,
yeah.
I think it was Havenstein, in fact, that said that in terms of the offensive line, I think he'd said that the day after the game, they were all in watching tape and going over, this is what we've done wrong. It sounds like across the board, quite a few of the players came away from that game and thought, no, this is unacceptable. This is not us. This is not the Rams. This is not Rams football. It's not how we play individually. We can't rest on our laurels here. It doesn't matter if it's week one. They obviously want to set the tone from the off and are pretty much pissed off that they've not been able to do that, especially against a good opponent who, like you said, there's 10 at halftime, 10-10. It just reminded me of one of those games where if we're going to win this, it's going to be one of those games we'll grind it out and it'll be the last quarter, we'll just run away with it.
That's what I say, you know, if you'd have said to me, you know, that half time that Matt Gay field goal was the last points we'd have got all game, I'd have been like, no, that isn't us. But another one, you know, again, we were talking about, you know, Akers being in a doghouse. Yeah, I noticed something yesterday. I forgot who it was that put the tweet out that we seem to go with a starting safety duo of Rapp and Scott, and that Jordan Fuller only got, I think, 20% of defensive snaps all game.
Considering he was number one last year, I was quite surprised that he's just totally been left out in the cold.
Yeah, is something going on there as well? Is he in, you know, McVay's doghouse, or, you know, something happened in the off season? Because last year, if you just said between Rapp and Fuller would have been my number one safety for us straight away. So what's going on back there as well? You know, there's a lot of questions at the moment. I think people are wanting answered that what's happening with the team, with the various positions and the decisions that are being made.
What was your thoughts on Wagner's debut?
I thought he was okay. He was decent. I wouldn't say it was anything special, but you can see he's not the same player physically that he was, you know, in his glory years of Seattle. You know, he has lost that bit of pace, but he still has the intelligence to get himself in the right position. Yeah, again, you know, week one, new team, you know, new scheme and everything else. You know, hopefully as the year goes on, he'll get a little bit better and a bit more settled into what's expected of him.
I mean, if you look at Von Miller last year, it did take him, you know, a good handful of games before he started to kind of really get going for us in defence. And those first few games, especially debuting against 49ers away from home, people were just going in like, this is an absolute waste for the Rams. He's, you know, Von Miller looks like he's starting to be past it. And then it comes up against us last week and he's just looked more like prime Von Miller again. You know, not to say what it wasn't for us, you know, as the season got on and we got into the off-season, he really started to step up and was great. Maybe Wagner's going to be the same, I guess. But
yeah, I think so. I think it's just going to take him a little bit of time to maybe get going on the team as he starts to get a little bit more comfortable and he can figure things out. The only other thing I think for me on defence is I thought Leonard Floyd had a pretty poor game. You know, I think that, you know, we all expected now that Von Miller's gone, you know, we're going to have that rotation on the opposite side of him between Hollins and Lewis and a few others, you know, until I think we can figure out who is going to be on that left side of, you know, the line. But, you know, I was expecting a little bit more maybe out of Floyd to step up, take over some of that Von Miller role. And I was disappointed in the game he had, to be honest.
For me, the one thing I will say about the defence in general, like, you said the amount of turnovers we had should have been enough to win a game. It normally is in paper. In general, I did think the defence didn't have a bad game. Ramsey, got burned a few times. It cost us two touchdowns. But overall, like I said, Donald didn't exactly play bad. He never plays bad, actually. I better make that clear. He never plays bad. The Bills had a bit of a game plan for him and managed to contain him enough that he couldn't play as well as he normally does. Wagner, as we just said, I might take him a few games, but elsewhere, like Ashawn Robinson, I thought looked good. Ernest Jones, I think, has got a lot of potential for us in defence. Nick Scott, again, just to plug, he's a future player of the week, looked good out there for us. And Greg Gaines looked like he's going to pick up where he, you know,
yeah.
But one thing I will say about the defence is they never forced the Bills to punt once in the whole game. And you can have all the turnovers. If you are not stopping a defence and forcing them to punt, if you're not turning them over, then it's another reason why you're not going to win the game. If a punter's sitting on his backside, that's him doing his job. His job is not, he doesn't want to be out there kicking, even that, even though that's what he's paid to do. If he's on the sidelines, then the rest of the team are doing his job. So that was the one thing for me I felt. Let the defensive performance down, that they didn't get those big stops that we're used to.
No, exactly. I mean, I'm just looking at like, some of the stats now. I mean, you know, going back to Bobby Wagner, you know, seven tackles, five solos and a sack. You know, that for me is a fairly, you know, decent start for him. You know, Troy Hill as well coming back. You know, I think everyone seems to have forgotten about Troy Hill coming back this offseason. Eight tackles, six solo tackles and a pass defended. You know, I think he had a decent game as well. So I think when people look at, you know, like I said, the 31 points, you think, oh, well, you know, the defence didn't. But I don't think the defence played that bad. I thought they pretty much, bar maybe one or two players, you know, picked up, as you say, where we left off last year. It's just offensively that basically let the defence down.
Yep. And like you said, going into this game, you were saying that you expected this to maybe be like the Kansas game. That Monday night game, it was just an absolute shootout. And if our offence did get going, yeah, it probably was. I mean, in fact, I can't remember the exact score, but when we went to Buffalo 2 years ago, it wasn't necessarily a shootout, but it was a pretty high-scoring game, even though we lost out there. So I think, you know, the one thing you can take from this game is that the offence didn't get going and it let us down, whereas the defence performed almost to the standard that you would normally expect. A good, solid, average Rams performance that normally would be enough to win if your offence was get going. How weird was it seeing a different punter out there, not seeing Johnny Hooker?
Yeah, it felt a little bit weird. I'm not being horrible to the guy, but between him and Dicker, I was hoping we kept, you know, Dicker rather than Dixon. I just thought there was something, you know, especially in his the preseason, he looked pretty decent. But, you know, I'm going to give credit where credit's due to Riley Dixon. He did, you know, what we expect when he was called upon. You know, he had four punts, averaged a 45, and, you know, two were down within, you know, the 20, which is what you want. So it didn't feel like we missed a step without Hecker, to be honest. Yeah, it felt weird not seeing that guy out there, but it didn't feel like there was much of a change from last year. And, you know, even, again, sample size of one, you know, is for the field goal, but, you know, I thought he did well just, you know, holding the snap and getting it so that Matt Gay didn't look, you know, so he could kick it. Well, it didn't just look like anything had changed.
Yeah, well, just mentioning Matt Gay, a 57-yard field goal, I believe that's his longest as a Ram. And once again, it had legs to go even further. If he gets a good kick on it, how far do you think Matt Gay could actually kick it?
I think 62, maybe 63. If you know, everything goes well, and, you know, I think he could hit a 60-yarder easily, maybe a little bit. I don't think he's up there, you know, with Justin Tucker. I don't think anyone's ever going to be as, you know, up there with the length of his, 67 yards, I think it is the record. So, you know, but I think he could hit, you know, 60s, low 60s myself personally. Looking at his field goals, you know, every week, he's always, you know, even when he is kicking, you know, 55 plus, they still look like they have, you know, a good 5, 6, 7 yards on them still to go.
Any final thoughts in the game before we move on to this week's game?
I think this is one of those that we think we just scrub from our memory. We just sort of, you know, okay, well, it happened. Let's, you know, move on and pray next week's a little bit better. And, you know, this was just a blip in the matrix, as we, you know, we've seen a few times over the years with the team.
Last thing for me on the game was it reminded me of the Cardinals home game last season, where it was a poor performance. David Long Jr. last year, he got absolutely burned. It was Ramsey this time. But we went away, we regrouped and figured out how to beat them. And we beat them twice, away from home and then in the postseason. And the reason I'm bringing that up is, it's week one, they've given us their best. We didn't give them our best. We can go away, regroup. We know how they tick. If we're lucky enough to come up against them again, then we will have a better game plan to beat them. So take the positives we can from a game. Might get beat, but we know what their best is now.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that sounds about it, yeah.
Yeah, so moving on to this week. Right, that's behind us now. On to this week, and we're up against the Atlanta Falcons at home. Andy, how are you looking forward to this game?
I'm a lot more comfortable with this game, to be honest. What we need to do, our game plan needs to be for the Falcons, let them get about 20 odd points ahead, and then we'll win. That's our game plan for the week, I think. Just, you know, they just keep, you know, they did it in the Super Bowl, as everyone knows, and they pretty much did it last week against the Saints. You know, they were, what was it, 23-10 up, maybe even, you know, more than that, and then it all fell apart as usual for them, just as they looked in cruise control.
I know we said this before we came on, but I'll say it again. I think it highlights with the Falcons that Matt Ryan wasn't necessarily the problem with that. It just shows you can take the quarterback out of Atlanta, but the problems are still there, no matter what you do. And just on, I know we spoke about it, just to bring it up again. So Matt Ryan obviously surpassed the 60,000 yards this year. Is the ball number assigned to the ball that he threw that pass with was 283 or 283. So even getting out of Atlanta, Matt Ryan is still forever going to be haunted by that Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that's going to be his legacy forever now.
Yeah, taking away from the obvious that, yeah, just let them get up points and then they'll blow it. What areas do you think will be key for us to win the game?
To be honest myself, obviously, I think, you know, offense needs to play better. That's without a shadow of a doubt. This week, you know, an old mocking of the Falcons, I thought they played pretty well. You know, they got four sacks across the team, which, you know, worries me, especially, you know, with our offensive line starting to get a bit patchwork with injuries and everything else. You know, it is starting to worry me. But in terms of game plan, we need to stop the run game for the Falcons. Simple as. I think if we can stop the run game, we'll easily beat them. Again, Cordarrelle Patterson, 120 yards and a touchdown. You know, that guy just looked like a beast. He was running people over. He just didn't care. You know, I think twice, I watched the highlights of it, and I think twice Tyrann Mathieu just got run over like he didn't exist. He literally just went through the middle of them. But even, you know, their quarterback, Mariota, you know, everyone mocks the guy. You know, he's had a bit of a rough time. But, you know, rushing 72 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, he is that dual threat quarterback. And I do find sometimes our team struggles with dual threat quarterbacks, especially with him going up against, you know, Aaron Donald. As a mobile quarterback, he's one of going to get out there as quick as he can. So we need to contain him. We need to contain the edges, keep him in that pocket, which will then give AD the chance to get him. Keep, if we can, Patterson quiet, and to be honest, do what the Saints did and keep Pitts quiet, because, you know, I think he only had two catches of all games for, I think it was 19 yards. You know, Kyle Pitts is one of those game changing tight ends, so if we can keep the running game in check and keep Kyle Pitts in check, I think we've got a good chance with this game of winning it. It's just a case of can we hold up against that. We saw what happened with, like, going back, Josh Allen, you know, and he's, you know, Mariota's, even personally, although he's not as good a passer, he's a quicker runner, and that's what is worrying me now for this game, is that it's just going to be, you know, rinse and repeat, and we can't contain him.
On the topic of mobile quarterbacks, it does seem to be a kind of recurring theme with our defense that we do find it difficult to contain them. And if you know, you think about Kyler Murray, like, every time we play the Cardinals, I'm screaming at the telly him, because it just can take off. And, you know, we saw that with Allen, I guess, this week, that he was able to do the same. So do you think the defense is always going to struggle to contain? Because, let's say, it's a recurring theme. When we come up against pocket passers, Aaron Donald will feast. We come up against mobile quarterbacks, it's like that. They've got dual threat running backs as well, because Patterson, you know, as you said, over 100 yards rushing, and he went right through Mathieu like he wasn't even there. If they've got Mariota with that, is the key, we could probably contain Pitts, I guess, like you said. Is the running game going to be our downfall here? So is it one of those ones that this is a ground and pound type of game?
Yeah, I think, you know, these guys are they're going to be a ground and pound team first and foremost. I think we all know what the Falcons are going to be. You know, let's be honest, the head coach, Arthur Smith, with Titans for years, he had Derrick Henry. You know, so I think his mentality is ground and pound first. But the one thing I think I'm hopeful of is that from last year to this, you know, for the last few years to this year, is we've actually invested now in our linebackers, especially in the middle of the field. So I'm hoping that maybe by having Wagner in, you can show Jones a few thingos, maybe get Ernest Jones on the spy, right? You watch Mariota wherever he goes, sideline to sideline. That's your guy. Pick him up and just stay with him. Don't let him get out. If he gets out, you're there to take him down. You know, so hopefully we can sort of evolve our game plan a little bit more now. Because, you know, when we had, you know, Troy Reader and a few others, we never, the mismatch we've had in the middle of the field, you know, those players have never been able to do that because I think they were just not athletic enough and intelligent enough to do it.
Not whereas strong I think, enough either.
Yeah. Whereas I think, you know, Jones has got the speed to keep up with the likes of these guys so that, you know, maybe I say spy him, right? That's your job. You pick it. If he goes, you're with him. You know, just go sideline to sideline and keep up with him. Don't let him break out beyond the line, you know. And I think we will be successful. If we can do something like that, we will be successful. It's early, you know. I'm more confident with this game than I was for the Bills game. And I'm still confident that, you know, when it comes to it, we match up better than they do, I could say. And, you know, Kyle Pitts, we just got to keep him quiet because he is probably the best offensive weapon outside of Patterson. If we can keep them too quiet, I think we will have a good chance with this game coming out with the win.
Anyone on their defense you think we need to watch out for?
Obviously, you know, you've got Grady Jarrett. You know, that guy, he seems to have, you know, come out this year. Obviously, again, it's only week one, but 1.5 sacks and a tackle for loss in the last game. You know, he seems to have come back again. That their rookie, I'm probably going to butcher this, Ebiaketti, you know, in his debut game, got a sack as well. He looks decent. But I think the biggest one, again, is it's going to be Cooper Kupp versus AJ Terrell. You know, their number one corner versus Kupp. Can they keep him, you know, contained? So that's going to be quite, you know, a good battle. And like I say, you know, hopefully that'll give us Robinson a chance to maybe against someone like, you know, Casey Hayward, who isn't the same player he was a few years ago, to actually get going and maybe make some plays. And my only other thing I would say, to be brutally honest, is I hope our defense doesn't play these, you know, bend don't break sort of defense where, you know, all right, we'll let them get up to the 20, you know, 30 yard line before we actually put pressure on, because their kicker, Yonkoku, is again. Yes. Probably one of the best kickers and does have a good, decent leg on him. And, you know, he is pretty. I know he got that blocked one at the end of the game against the Saints, you know, but he was trying to drill it from 65 yards, I think it was. You know, but he is pretty automatic himself. And, you know, I think the Falcons' game plan will be ground and pound and, you know, just keep, you know, like they were doing with the Saints, is just keep getting us in field goal range. We'll take the field goals and we'll just try and keep holding you, which, you know, they did for basically, you know, 3/4 of the game. And it was only really the last quarter that they actually, the Saints came alive and, you know, took the game away. So, you know, there is, you know, a few things I think we need. If we can contain them, it's going to be, don't want to say an easy game, but it's one of them that you sort of, the start of the season, you know, when everyone looks at the roster, it's one of them that you put as, you know, we're probably the favourites. We should be the favourites to win this one, and we should win it comfortably, in my opinion.
Just before we come on to predictions, just looking at the injury report. Now, this is as of Wednesday. The one for tonight isn't out just quite yet. We've obviously got Jefferson out, but we're missing also a few linemen. So Brian Allen's out injured, and Noteboom due to knee injury. So they've not practiced this week at all. Floyd's been limited with knee, and Orzek, our long snapper, didn't practice with a calf injury. But I believe, is it Matt Overton, his name is, we brought in? Is there another long slapper to replace him? What say you about kind of Allen and Noteboom? Do you think our O-line's going to take an absolute battering with injuries? Because this, so we're not even in it the season properly, and we've had a number of injuries kind of go through members of the roster. Is that a bit of worry in terms of their health and fitness?
It is something that worries me, to be honest, and it always has worried me. You know, even like I've said before, you know, we've been fairly lucky as a team that we've not suffered many injuries, especially in key important places like the O-line and everything else. So, you know, we are struggling. I think Brian Allen, they're expecting him about 3 or 4 weeks, I think, at minimum, that he's going to be out. So we're going to have to make adjustments for him. Noteboom, I can see him playing. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't play. You know, they've not said anything about that. Floyd, I think it's just precautionary. They're just keeping them out to, you know, rest them. But, you know, we are going to have to make some adjustments. I believe at the moment it'll be Shelton will go back, will go into centre, which is, to be honest, when he played centre for us in a couple of times last year, he looked okay. He didn't look too bad. He looked decent, you know. And then I think it'll be, I believe at the moment the player they're saying is going to be Tremaine Antrim's going to play that guard position. But, you know, obviously there is Bobby Evans who can also step in. And I believe we signed, what was his name? Jeremiah Cologne, or whatever his name is, just as cover as well. But again, it's just, to be honest, we've been lucky even before the season started, because we lost Logan Bruss, who, you know, I think was going to be our day one starter guard, you know. So we've already had to make adjustments even before the season started. So you're just hopeful that maybe Shelton going into centre can just do what he did last time when he played, and that, you know, Antrim or Evans or whoever it is that's going to plug in at the right guard position can just sort of hold it until, you know, we can get players back and healthy again.
What's your predictions for the game? How do you see it panning out? What's your score prediction?
I can see this playing out, to be honest. I think it will be a win for us. I think it will be sort of 28-21.
Yeah, for myself, I've got it down a kind of a win for us, and I'm kind of thinking more 27-23. I think it's going to be close. Hopefully we can start kind of getting the offensive train moving here. And just like you're saying, I think we need to keep the kicker off the field and we keep Pitts contained. Then all we've got to do is worry about the running game, which is one of those ones. Like a lot's been said over the years that our run defense has been awful. It's not been that bad. And like you touched upon, we've invested in the linebacking core in general, and all you've got to do is just remember Troy Reader last year. I can't remember what game it was. It may have been the 49ers, where he attempted to make a tackle and the guy took the ball and Troy Reader for a first down.
Yeah.
So we have improved in the linebacking core. We've got Jones, we've got Wagner. We're probably better suited. You know, we've got Gaines, Robinson and Donald on the line. Yeah, it would have been great if we could have added another edge rusher in there. But I think we're pretty solid there to try and contain the run game, as long as we can keep an eye on Mariota not taking off. Like yourself, Andy, I'm confident we should come out with this a win, and fingers crossed we do. Just segueing a bit on predictions, so from the team have already put their picks in for the season. You can see them on the website, talk about each of them, their records we're going for, who we think we're going to mostly lose against, I guess, like rather than we'll win, we'll talk about who we're beating, how the division record would look as well. This year, for something different, we opened it up a bit to, you know, guys out in the community with a offer of a competition. So there's an early Rams UK word art print that will go to the winner at the end of the season. And all we did is ask guys to basically send in the predictions for the record we'll have and you kind of win loss each week. Whoever comes out with the record that's correct goes into the draw for the print. But if someone is an all-seen eye and manages to predict every single week correctly, we'll maybe just throw something in differently. So in total, including the guys from the team, we've got maybe about 27. So what we're hoping to be able then to use that there is to give you a feeling how the LA Rams UK kind of community feels a prediction-wise going into every game. So for week one, 10 of us predicted a Bills loss, a Bills victory, and 17 of us predicted a win. So kind of more like kind of two-thirds win, loss. So on that, from the team, yourself, Andy, you predicted a Bills win. So did Aaron and Rob, Matt Warren, Lewis Perry, Dan, Jamie Page, Graham Laird, and Dom Harris, who also predicted that. So you guys are all still, as far as we're concerned, all seeing eyes. As for the week two matchup, every single one of us has predicted a Rams victory, so 100% chance of winning a continental Rams UK community. So just moving on, just elsewhere in the league, in terms of the NFC West, the Winners lost in the swimming pool of Chicago. I don't know if you've seen this, Andy. So Mike Martz did an interview, can't remember with who, and he absolutely tore into both quarterbacks. He tore into Justin Fields, but he couldn't help but get his claws into Trey Lance. You got any initial thoughts about the Messiah for the 49ers, or do you think we're going to see Jimmy G back at under centre very soon?
No, I think, again, it's week one game. It was such horrible weather, you know, no quarterback, I don't care. You know, I don't even think Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes could do as much, you know, could do much with the weather conditions, you know. I don't know, I just have a feeling Jimmy G may be disappearing somewhere soon. There's a few teams that have got quarterback injuries and stuff at the moment, so I can see maybe him being a potential trade target shortly, especially after they restructured his contract, which basically makes it pretty much trade friendly now. I think there will be a lot more interest with teams who've got quarterback injuries. I'm hoping he gets traded, and then, you know, Trey Lance just proves to be a complete flop, and, you know, that'll make our year.
Yeah,
to be honest.
I'm sure he will. Elsewhere in the division, the Cardinals lost to the Chiefs at home, and the Seahawks, surprisingly for me, beat the Broncos. I was quite surprised that Russell Wilson got booed so heavily on his return to Seattle. Were you surprised about that, Andy?
Yeah, but it's Seattle, so you know what the fans are like. I wasn't expecting it, but at the same time, it was kind of when it happened, I was like, oh, well, you know, it's Seattle's fans. You know, they're not exactly, you know, the best fan base in the world. But that to me, I think, was a shock of the whole week one. It was the Seahawks. I did not expect, you know, I was expecting the Broncos to run away with it by the end of the first quarter.
Yep.
not to actually lose the game, you know. And if you'd have said to me, come, you know, and I would say, again, it's only week one, but Seattle would be leading the division, I'd have been like, you having a laugh?
Well, who
did they trade for? You know, which quarterback did they trade for, you know, before the season started to actually get a win? You know, so some ways lucky that, to be honest, I don't see the Seahawks winning many more games. I think that was just the hype of, you know, we're going against Wilson again. You know, I think as the season goes on, they'll struggle. But it was just nice that, although we lost, which is not good, the fact that the Cardinals and the Niners also lost was just, you know, helps us out a little bit this year.
Just a shame that Seattle won in the end. And like you said, they currently sit on top of our division, but it's only week one. In terms of elsewhere in the league, the kind of notable things I mentioned was obviously the Colts and the Texans playing out a tie. Blankenship apparently is for the chop, which was a bit of a shock. But hearing from some Colts fans, it sounds like as if this is something that's been coming a long time. But as an outsider looking in, are you surprised at all that Blankenship is for the off?
Yeah, I was surprised, to be honest, because, you know, Goggles was, you know, I thought a fairly decent player. But again, like you say, you know, listening to Colts fans and everything, you know, when he came back from his injury last year, he wasn't very good. And, you know, he wasn't good. You know, again, it's life as a kicker. It's probably the most torturous position in the league. You know, a couple of mistakes and you're out the door. Yeah, it was a shock, but hopefully the guy will get a job somewhere else and, you know, maybe his luck will change.
Keeping on the theme of kickers, did you watch the Bengals Steelers game? It felt like a penalty shootout in the end.
Yeah, that was a nuts game in the end. I must admit.
That miss from McPherson, though, like, it wasn't even a little bit wide. I actually described it on Twitter to compare it to the type of kick where you're expecting a centre-half to stick his head on it and head it home. It curved that much from the point of the kick.
Yeah, that was... To be honest, after all this, you know, his gobbiness, you know, before the Super Bowl and everything else, I was kind of glad he missed it. Because he was beginning to get on my nerves a little bit. I think the other shock as well was just how poor the Packers played.
Well, that was the next thing I was going to just ask about. What did you think about them?
I was shocked, to be honest. You know, again, it's week one, so, you know, I think I did read somewhere that they don't tend to play, Packers don't seem to play well week one.
Yeah.
Full stop, no matter who it is. But, you know, obviously they're having to make adjustments. That they've lost Davante Adams, you know, it's a big loss for the team. You know, no matter how much, you know, they're saying that, you know, we can replace him with, you know, when your number one receiver is now Alan Lazard, you've got sort of one or two problems, I feel, need to be ironed out.
I think the encouraging thing for me is that it showed that we could possibly use, well, bearing in mind that Kevin O'Connell, former offensive coordinator for us last season, is now their head coach. For me, I'm saying it's encouraging because obviously we were under his offensive kind of system, that we could utilise Kupp to essentially rip their secondary, and specifically Jaire Alexander, to shreds, because Jefferson just looked absolutely immense.
Oh god, yeah.
Against them.
I know he made a few, you know, he's been gobbing off in the, you know, and in the off season and everything else. But, you know, he did look like he'd come out week one. You know, it wasn't just talk. That, you know, he does want to be the best wide receiver in the NFL. You know, with the game he played. The other game I suppose we should really mention is, you know, the Mayfield revenge game that unfortunately for him didn't quite work out as I think most fans would have liked to have happened. So with the, you know, the Panthers and the Browns.
Did you see actually during that game that the two of the Panthers' offensive lines blocked each other?
Yeah.
Like, it was great play from the Browns to make it happen, but, like, I saw the picture at first, and it was one of the ones I was like, what, how is that possible? When you see that actually in motion, it's good play from the Browns to do it, but it's just hilarious because both men actually put up and start blocking each other before you realise, oh, hold on.
Yeah, hang on. I know you're my mate. What are you doing here? No, we need to... Oh, it's too late. But that was a game. I think everyone was sort of secretly a Panthers fan for that game. Yeah. Just, you know, I think we all wanted Mayfield to win that one just as a bit of a kick in the teeth to the Browns.
Anything elsewhere from the league you want to mention?
Just obviously there's been a few injuries announcements over the past couple of days. You know, obviously it looks like Jamal Adams is done for the year. TJ Watt is, I think, tore his pec, so he's expected to be out till pretty much mid-season now. So, you know, a few notable injuries up and down the, you know, already week one in the league. You know, we just need to keep an eye on, I think, as the season goes on.
Cool. Okay, so moving on to the social. So every podcast without question, invite you guys for questions from Facebook, Twitter, and now our Discord channel. So starting off with Vince Kitagawa for Facebook, do we really need to look back at the game? Does anyone understand this coach's statements about Eckler's needing to show more urgency? I'm baffled, only 3 carries. That's only 2 more than Powell. I think we kind of covered our kind of feelings in Akers that perhaps there was a bit of an attitude there and McVay's gave him a talk to it, but it's obviously not going to go into detail with us.
Yeah, I think we've pretty much covered that one, yeah.
Scott Kirkwood on Twitter also kind of asked the exact same thing about Akers. Thoughts on the Akers situation, is he still hurt? But what he does ask is, do you think McVay prefers Henderson to Akers or is it attitude?
Yeah, again, I think we touched on it earlier. I think, you know, maybe it was a bit of, you know, whatever's gone on, you know, I think McVay sort of put his stamp on that and was been like, no, this is how it's going to be. But, you know, I think McVay likes to have that rotation with his running backs anyway to try and keep them healthy because, you know, they're both, I'm not going to say injury prone, but that, you know, they do seem to carry a lot of injuries. And I think he likes to, you know, keep it a little bit fresher, rotate them. And as I say, I think on third downs, Henderson, I think, is McVay's preferred choice simply because he can pass block better than Akers can.
Graham Laird on Twitter, what's the reason behind Stafford getting sacked 7 times? Is our offensive line not good enough without Whitworth, or will another receiver option help Stafford in that regard?
Again, like I said a bit earlier, you know, the offensive line looked like a bit of a rotating door. You know, we've got a few players that are stepping in, you know, for their first real season starters, you know, Note Boom. Although he was going against Von Miller week one, you know, that's a hard task for any offensive lineman, you know, even for Big Wit. It's a hard task to defend, especially when he's on fire the way he is. I'd give Note Boom a little bit more time, see how, you know, he settles in, because he has looked good for us when he's had to step in for Whitworth. So hopefully, you know, like I say, week one nerves, maybe a bit of lack of preseason and everything else, he'll get into it. Shelton, Coleman and that. You know, there's a few, you know, players that are starting their first games, you know, that the offensive line's got, as well has got a gel to each other. So I think a little, you know, give it a few weeks and we'll see what happens. But hopefully, you know, we can just hold it together till we get Brian Allen back. But if it comes to the choice between selling maybe OBJ and bringing, I will say, you know, I'm bringing in maybe a veteran offensive lineman, I would rather at the moment that we brought in some extra linemen just to help, if nothing else, and maybe secure. Because at the moment, if Stafford has only got, you know, a second or two to, you know, he's not going to be able to get through his progressions as well, you know. But also on the plus side to that is, if we can get the run game going, that all opens up the pack, you know, the play action game, which, you know, suits Stafford as well, because it also suits our line, because they're moving, they're not having to, you know, stand up to power, which, like I said earlier, I think we struggle with. I think when we have powerful players who, you know, like to bull rush, our offensive line does struggle. So by being able to get the play action going, get boots out and get the linemen moving, you know, it all gels it in together, and that's when I think we play our best football.
Just over on Discord, just kind of following on for that, Stuart Cameron did ask what was our views on the offensive line depth being tested this early on. I think it's highlighted that the depth is pretty shallow in terms of what we've got there. And that's just been unfortunate, like you said, Logan Bruce, picking up an injury in the off-season, and then we've already had Brian Allen. I think it's shown that, like you said, if the choice is to be made between OBJ and someone for the line is more important, because OBJ is a luxury. At this moment in time, regardless of how we played last week, I would probably still say we kind of need more depth there because of injuries.
We're relying on undrafted players to fill those gaps, or, you know, late round, you know, round 6, 7s. you know, how many of them genuinely are anything more than, you know, backup caliber players at the, you know, at the best in their careers. There's, you know, you're few and far between if you catch that lucky star that, you know, actually takes off. You know, there's hope for the, these guys that they can maybe, you know, with, you know, with, you know, we've had good trainers, but, you know, this is the problem. Like I say, when, you know, like I've harped on before, when we are, we don't have your first, second rounders because you're trading them. You know, that's where you get the, you know, generational, you know, talented linemen. And we can't do that because of our strategy, you know. So it's a case of pray and, you know, let's work to our advantages, which is the run game and then the play action off it.
And just before we wrap up for this evening, last thing we wanted to just kind of finish off, we'll try and finish off on, I guess, a bit of a high by picking our player of the week. So, first of all, going to what we're getting off the comments we're getting off the community, it's pretty self-explanatory that Cooper Kupp, based on, you know, getting the only touchdown, 128 yards, would be our player of the week. But Lewis Perry gave a notable mention for Nick Scott, who had to hand in two defensive turnovers. And back to Stuart Cameron as well, he'd said about Kupp standing out offensively, but there's the need to kind of give more passing options out there. Andy, is Kupp your player of the week, or is there anyone else you want to kind of single out for praise?
No, but I think, you know, I think everybody's called it. You know, I think offensively, it's Kupp. There can't be anybody else. And, you know, defensively, you're going to have to give it to, you know, Nick Scott just for the two turnovers. And, you know, he did play a decent game. You know, he was probably our best player on defense overall this week. What about yourself? Do you change any of them?
Probably not. No, Kupp is without a doubt was the best player on offense, and in terms of defense, he probably Nick Scott. But it's probably because I've been reading up on his career this week in his college career. He's very fresh in my mind, so it's one of the ones that would have been hard for me to kind of look objectively at anyone else. But it was good to see that he performed well. Towards the tail end of last year, he really started to kind of come out of shell and step up more. Last year was his best season he'd had on the Rams. With us, so it's good to see that he's kind of, you know, he's another player on defense specifically that's picked up where he left off last year. So yeah, but Kupp and Scott, I think, on both sides of the ball for me.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts you want to add in, Andy, before we sign off?
Nope, can't think of anything.
Okay, great. Well, that about does it. Is here at LA Rams UK for episode 76. Thanks a lot to everyone who listens and supports the podcast. Keep your eyes on our website, socials, Discords, the lot. We've got merch out there. And good luck on Sunday, everyone. Hopefully, we will be joining you next week celebrating another return to victory. Thanks a lot for joining me, Andy. It's always great to chat about the Rams with you.
Yeah, good to be back. Good to be having the season going. And, you know, shame we couldn't have had a more positive week one, but let's move on week two and let's start getting those wins going.
Yep. So thanks again, guys, and see you all next time.